Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello and do that a bit closer to the microphone, shall I? Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Talk podcast. I am Luke Owen, D-A-D, and I'm joined by that bitch, your Quizlemania champion, Tempo T Wrestler. How are you, sir?
Doing quite well, Luke. How are you?
Well, I'm stoked now. You'll get to hear this in the show itself because we get a live reaction to it. But they've just announced that they're doing an X-Men revival. The X-Men animated series from the 1990s is getting a brand new, like a sequel show. It's called X-Men 97. And that is very cool. And I'm going to share my screen with you to show how Marvel Studios announced this because, it warms my heart. This is terrible podcast content. I appreciate that. But Tempest will have a lovely reaction to it. Where is Chrome tab, Marvel Studios. Here we go.
Of course, that's lovely. That's lovely stuff.
It's the Wolverine meme of him looking at a photograph, and they put in the photograph X-Men 97. That's great.
That's fun. Yeah. I like knowing that there are people involved with Marvel stuff that get it. You know? I get a sense a lot of the time that the Disney folk are just robots that don't understand stuff. They didn't understand Star Wars.
Like, I get this with, so I love The Simpsons. You love The Simpsons. We all love The Simpsons, right? But, like, have you tried to watch any of The Simpsons shorts things that they've done on Disney Plus?
No, I have not.
And the reason why I think they're pretty bad, quite bad, in fact, I would say, is that when The Simpsons were on Fox, all they did was just, like, this channel sucks. Like this channel's just full of crap, and everyone who works in here is an idiot. And Fox are rubbish. Now they've gone to Disney. All of the shorts are just like, man, God, do you know who rules Disney? Like, do you know what's the best? Loki. Do you know what's got no flaws in it? Loki. Star Wars. Man, let's just make some Star Wars references, but with Simpsons characters, with none of the bite or satire that a Simpsons short would have had on Fox 10 or so years ago.
Oh man, yeah, right? It really is. It really does disappoint me, you know, because I love good classic Simpsons, like a lot. It's like one of my favorite shows ever, and they were counterculture in the 90s, and that was like that's as cool as you can get, you know. In the age of Nirvana and Stone Cold Steve Austin, you've got the Simpsons being the bad boys of cartoons. That was really good. Now they're the furthest thing from that. They are just Americana.
Yeah, it's a real shame. It kind of sucks a little bit in a way. I bet it doesn't matter. I haven't really watched a new episode of The Simpsons in years. Speaking of which, actually, so we went out last night to Drafts, Board Game Club Cafe in London.
Very jealous.
I know. And it was a good amount of fun. We played some Telestrations, played some Ghost Blitz, which was really good with Terry and Social Media Abby because she's in town. And Social Media Abby, I don't think she'll mind me revealing this. She told me that her and her partner are going to get Simpsons tattoos. And I was like, what are you going to get? And she was like, he's going to get Ralph dressed up as Idaho, and I'm going to get Lisa dressed up as Florida.
That is tremendous. Absolutely tremendous. That's the best thing I've ever heard.
It's so good. I'm like, that is incredible. I'm not Florida. I'm a monster.
I'm Idaho. Yes, yes, you are.
I'm Idaho. I love that. I've said this before, but like, I regret that I was not stupid enough as an 18-year-old. I was stupid enough to get the tattoo that I've got when I was 18, the one that's on my arm, but I was not stupid enough to get Millpool tattooed on my leg. It's the one, and I can't do it now. I'm 36 years old soon. I'll be 36 next month, and I'm a dad. I can't do that tattoo now, but if I was an idiot 18-year-old, I could have done that and got away with it.
You're trying to tell me that when I'm your age, I will look back and say, I'm really glad I was that stupid 19-year-old to get the Batman and Joker tattoo.
100%.
Or a Jam That Jam tattoo for that matter.
100%. Because I look back on this one that's on my arm that I got done when I was 18, and I'm like, look at that. Look at this guy. Look at this kid who got this tattoo on his arm of Jason Voorhees. What a cool kid he was. You'll have the same thing when you're like, you hit my age. I did say the other one I would have been tempted to get, like if I was to get a Simpsons tattoo, would have been Kirk Van Houten drawing Dignity for Luann.
I love that.
Dignity, Luann.
Of course you don't know how to draw Dignity. I gave it up when I married her.
Because it's so abstract as well. Yeah. Like, only a few people be like, you got, is that Dignity? Like, tattooed on your arm.
Oh, that's tremendous.
Yeah, I highly recommend, if you're on Instagram, there's an Instagram account called Simpsons Tattoos. And I love
follow
it.
Follow that right now.
Anyway, let's get into the main show itself. If you don't like AEW, you're not going to enjoy this podcast, because we talk about AEW a whole bunch for the next hour or so, talking Full Gear. Specifically, will Hangman Page win the title, or should Hangman Page win the title? Here is the show. Should Hangman Page win the AEW World Championship tomorrow night at AEW Full Gear 2021? I am Luke Owen, DAD, and I am joined by that bitch, your Quizzlemania champion from LI Dickheads, Tempo T Wrestler. How are you, sir?
I'm doing it fabulously, Luke. I get to talk about AEW today, which is out of the ordinary for my typical week. So I'm in high spirits.
It's delightful. So to peel back the curtain somewhat, ladies and gentlemen, if you were watching last week's show, you will have heard that Denise Salcedo said that she's bailing on this show again because she had the temerity to be busy working by going to do the media stuff at AEW Full Gear. So she's flying out to Minneapolis today. So she's like, I can't do the Friday show, and I can't do the week after that either. I said, that's fine. Don't worry. I'll find a replacement for you. So I thought, you know, maybe I'll reunite Ollie and Luke on a Friday show. That'll be fun. And then Ollie was like, no, I'm off on Friday. I'm like, cool. Well, it's okay. I'll ask SP3. So I message SP3 and I'll be like, hey man, do you fancy doing the show? And he was like, sorry, man, I'm going out for Full Gear. And I was like, nope, no, it's okay. It's all good. Pete's around. Message Pete, and I was on the tube last night with Pete because we went to drafts with editor Terry and social media Abby, and I said to Pete, I was like, hey, do you fancy doing the show tomorrow? And he said, no, I'm off work tomorrow. And I was like, god dang it. And then he said, ask Tempest, and I was like, why didn't I think of Tempest in the first place? Tempest seems like the most smartest answer to do with this, because I get to talk about AEW with Tempest the wrestler. And that's a really fun time. I'd much rather do that than talk about AEW with someone who doesn't care about AEW. At least you like the product.
I do. I'm everyone's fifth choice to be on a podcast.
Damn, Tempest, the seventh pick in the draft.
I was always the last kid picked in gym class.
So was I. I'm just extracting my revenge on everyone now. But anyway, yeah, no, thank you so much for joining us, Tempest. Also, you may have noticed that the title of this video changed at some point, and I've been talking about it all week. Matt McMuscles was meant to be joining us for this show today, but unfortunately, scheduling difficulties have gotten in the way of us. So Matt is looking to be on next week's show instead. So it's just me and Tempo for today. So, Tempest. Let's talk about Full Gear. First of all, before we get into the meat of the subject, by the way, beer52.com/wrestletalk, get yourself 10 free craft beers. It's one for every match on this Full Gear card. How are you feeling about Full Gear, which is, again, tomorrow night?
I keep forgetting that it's tomorrow night. Like, it's kind of snuck up on me. The November pay-per-view, all because there's only 2 months between All Out and Full Gear, as opposed to like 3 or 4 months between Full Gear and Revolution, then Revolution and whatever, the rest of the pay-per-view schedule. This is the shortest gap. So it really is snuck up on me. That being said, I don't think I'm quite as excited for the show as I was for All Out, but that's just because All Out was like the most excited I've ever been for a pay-per-view. I was there. And if it wasn't such a hassle to get over the border and back right now, I'd probably be trying to go to this show. I'll be honest. I would probably be trying to go. That being said, I'm really looking forward to this show. I think this card looks fantastic, and there's a lot of matches here that I have a genuine interest in, more than just like, oh, that'll be fun or that'll be a good match. Like, no, I'm really into this card.
Yeah, I was listening to Stephen Larson on the way to work. I was talking about this on the Dynamite show yesterday, but I was listening to Stephen Larson talking about this show. And I can't remember which one it was. It might have been Steve said, like, on paper, this has every chance to be show of the year. Like, I think it will end up being All Out. Like, I think when we send out our forms, when we do our best of year, our end of year awards, we send out like a questionnaire to, you know, everyone who works within the WrestleTalk, everyone who works with WrestleTalk.com, everyone who works on Parts of Unknown, on Wrestling Daily, and, you know, the Quizzlemania extended family. So like Sean, Denise, Alex, Brian Zane, we send it out to everyone, right? I am fairly confident that All Out is going to win best show of the year. Because of the triple header, right, of Ruby Soho and then the closing of Adam Cole and Danielson, plus CM Punk's first match back in, you know, however long. So, like, the cage match, which was insanely great. So I think that likely that will win show of the year. But I do think on paper, this is a better show than All Out.
I think it could be. I mean, you've got Adam Cole wrestling on this show. Yeah, you've got Bryan Danielson in a big singles match on this show. You have the culmination of the Omega and Hangman. Well, possibly the culmination. We don't know. But a big, big title match there. This has the potential to be bigger and better than that one. I just don't think it has like that hype around it because of the extra things like, oh, who's showing up? This is more of just like a pay-per-view wrestling card where you're showing up to see the wrestling matches and the stories and all of that, as opposed to like, well, who's gonna show up? Debuts to AEW confirmed, which is like a different kind of excitement. And I love both. It'll just be interesting to see how the pay-per-view turns out at the end.
Exactly. Yeah. And like, this is, you know, All Out was Punk's first match in 7 years, but this is Punk's first match with some steak and sizzle and bite to it. Oh, yeah. So I think that that's really going to elevate that match over the Darby Allin match. So let's kind of dive in. Oh, sure. I like this from Neil. He's like, how long before Luke and Tempest just start talking about Pearl Jam?
Yeah.
In all fairness, like, when I was messaging Matt McMuscles earlier, he was like, basically, I just wanted to come on the podcast and talk to you about the new Limp Bizkit album. And I was like, yeah, me too. Like, that's kind of what I was thinking of doing. I was listening to it again this morning.
This whole thing just devolves back into a new new metal podcast.
That's the way that me and Tempest roll. Anytime we get together, it's like, hey, should we just talk about some new metal? Yeah, let's do it. Anyway, let's get into the meat and potatoes of all of this. Hangman Page versus Kenny Omega. Storyline that's been building for 2 years plus at this point. I think you can make the argument that this storyline started really at the first AEW press events, the one in Jacksonville, where Pac came out to be like the EYI man, I think I'm better than you. And I think I should be the face of this promotion. And then the match that they were supposed to have at Double or Nothing that actually happened in Nottingham that I was there for. And, you know, and then that built up to the Jericho loss, that then built to the tag team with Omega, which then led to their amazing run as the tag team champions. The loss to FTR last year, the full gear last year, where Kenny Omega beat him in the World Title Eliminator tournament and then went on to win the belt. This has been building for so, so long. But the question is now the time to pull the trigger?
I think it is. I think it is. And I've gone back and forth on this a lot the last few weeks, ever since they announced the match, really, because I am not married to the idea that he needs to win it at this show. I do think that given AEW's track record, they could work the storyline so that it builds up to another title change. I still think he should be the guy to beat Kenny Omega. Like 100%, he should be the guy. Whether they do it now or they continue the storyline and change his character more in the time between now and another title shot, I don't know. I don't know. And that would be the big case, because to me, this isn't like a lot of the times we've seen where it's like, oh, he loses here, he's not going to be the guy. We've seen throughout Hangman Page's story that his losses have consequences, and it leads to him changing his character and having a great deal of character development. And that, to me, is very important to this story. Without him losing a number of times earlier in the story, I don't think this has the same kind of emotional weight that it has now. So that being said, I do think that now is the time for him to win. I think that if this match had happened at All Out, I think he would have lost. But when it became clear that his paternity leave was going to change plans, I think the big 10-man tag where he lost his opportunity, I think that kind of took the place of a first title shot loss. And then this match is now the second shot, basically. So I think it all still kind of works out, and now he's going to win the title.
I would agree with you on that one. Like, where I come down on this, and some people were really surprised by this in the comments of yesterday's prediction videos, because I come down on this looking at it from two ways. It's my head and my heart, right? So my heart says Hangman has to win, but my head says Danielson is likely winning the World Title Eliminator Tournament. I think it's a pretty safe bet that he's going to beat Miro tomorrow night, and he's going to be the new number one contendership. So if Danielson is winning the World Title Eliminator Tournament, what's the bigger match for you as Tony Khan, the promoter? Is it Danielson versus Page, or is it Danielson Omega 2? Now, so there's part of me that, you know, I go back and forth on that. Like, do it like now is the time to pull the trigger, but also, hey, that's pretty good. But when I was doing the Kenny Omega article on for WrestleTalk magazine, there was a quote from Omega that really stuck out to me, which is that he felt after the greatness of the first Okada Omega match, he felt that the sequel came too soon after the first one. Like, he thought that they should have held off, should have done it at Dominion, should have held off. That was not the time to do it. Face of the G1, yeah, probably. But like, that title match should not have happened so soon after the Wrestle Kingdom match. And if that Kenny Omega is still the same Kenny Omega we have now, is he saying to Tony Khan, look, yeah, Omega Danielson 2 is a big match for us to do, but let's not do it now. Like, let's hold off and wait until, you know, people are salivating for the idea of us getting into the ring again.
It's very interesting. That's very interesting. I hadn't thought of it like that, but it's a very interesting point, you know, because I don't know. I would assume that whoever wins the Eliminator tournament is going to get a title shot at like Winter is Coming, or like the beginning of December show, which
or like
would
a January 1st show or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Like, they never do the number one contenders match on a pay-per-view and then build that up until the next pay-per-view, just because that's so long. Yeah.
It could likely be the first TBS show.
Oh, could be that as well. Could be that, yeah. But it makes a lot of sense if they want to hold off on doing Kenny Bryan 2. If they want to hold off on that, I don't even think it's that big of a stretch to think that Miro might win this match. I think Hangman Page against Miro would be a really big first title defense for him. I think even if Kenny retains, I think Kenny Omega versus Miro is like a really interesting opportunity. Double heel match, really fun, two great wrestlers, the whole deal. I don't think it's a lock that Bryan wins this tournament. And that could buy them a little bit of time if they plan on holding off on Bryan and Bryan Kenny too. I don't know, though. I just, after the promo at the end of Dynamite, where they had the contract signing and went through all of that, I saw that segment and went, Hangman should win.
Yeah. Right. I had the same thought.
That solidified it. Like, now is the time.
Signing the contract in blood.
Yeah. They've hit the perfect point. They've hit the peak. I don't know if they could go higher. Of course, this storyline keeps proving me wrong. It keeps getting better. But I don't know if you can beat this. This is really, really good. And if they did the title change here, I don't think anyone's going to be disappointed. Except Louis.
I said this on the prediction show last night. I mean, Ollie made this point, and it's a point that I sort of agree with as well, which is that, like, the comments very much disagreed with what Davis had to say, but I don't think it's a terrible take, which is Omega wins here. Omega then beats Danielson. Omega then beats Punk. Omega then beats Adam Cole. And then Hangman Page beats him. All of a sudden, Hangman Page hasn't just beaten Kenny Omega. He has beaten the guy that has beaten all of the top guys on AEW's roster. So I sort of see from that point, but then like Ollie's like pitching, oh man, you should wait until All Out 2022. I don't know if you can stretch this out for that long.
Yeah, that might be pushing it a little bit, you know. And I will say, that take does kind of remind me of Okada's incredible IWGP title run.
Right,
yeah. Because there were several times throughout that title run where people were like, well, now is obviously the time. Kenny Omega needs to win the title in the Tokyo Dome. Kenny Omega needs to win the title at Dominion. Tetsuya Naito needs to win the title in the Tokyo Dome. And it never happened. It didn't happen. Okada just kept winning. He kept retaining the title over and over and over again. And eventually they got to Omega Okada 4. And that was the actual right time.
That's right, yeah.
And we were all wrong for having thought that all the previous times were the right time. They probably would have been cool moments. But they held it off for as long as possible. And it resulted in the biggest possible moment. So I don't know if you could do that with this title run, because obviously things are different over here, weekly television and all that. That being said, if they want to make Kenny Omega like the modern day greatest world champion of all time, I could see them going that direction and just saying he's going to be the champion for a year and a half, 2 years, and then Hangman wins. I just don't know if you make the story better by doing that.
I found the Kenny Omega quote as well that I was referencing earlier. So it was Wrestling Don Taku. Okada named Omega as the next challenger for the IWGP Championship at Dominion. Omega told ESPN, I personally think it's too soon to revisit that match. I would have liked to just let that performance be, come back to it at a later date. But there comes a time in business when it's just important to move numbers, put asses in seats. But as the saying goes, you have to come out all guns blazing. So there is that part of me that with Omega was like, maybe he is the guy to be like, let's hold off. In which case, then it sort of makes sense to put the belt on Omega now. Sorry, to put the belt on Page now, because then you do Page Danielson and you get to hold off on doing Danielson Omega 2 and save that for like maybe rather than doing it on TV this time, you save it for the pay-per-view where you actually have an outcome on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I agree. It's I don't think there's a wrong answer here.
No, I don't. Yeah, that's a very good point, actually, because like this is the thing we were talking about in the prediction show yesterday. This is a hard card to predict.
Yeah,
because like there's so many things that could swing either way. And I love that, actually. I really love that about like Full Gear. I had like three solid confidence choices, like where I went and be like, okay, these are the matches I am 100% confident that Britt Baker is retaining the title. I am pretty confident that Inner Circle Jerks are going to be American Top Team because they've taken so many losses against them. So I'm pretty confident on that one. And I think you need to give Jericho a win to lead to the Masvidal match. But aside from that, like the other one, actually, and I wanted to ask you where you land on this, Kingston Punk.
Ooh, it's tough, isn't it? It's tough. I think Punk wins because I think you do want to keep him undefeated for a really big match, whether that's Kenny Omega or whatever. I think you build to that. That being said, if Eddie Kingston was able to get a big win here over Punk, man, I wouldn't be sad seeing it. No, I would just be like, wow.
Well, like, it's crazy. It's the same thing with the main event. If Hangman Page wins tomorrow night, I'm going to be so happy. If Kenny Omega retains tomorrow night, I'm going to be like, that's awesome, because we're still like holding on. And like you said, making him that great modern day world champion. I can see it. I really can see it going either way. I know a lot of people, like I can see them in the chat, and I can see them in the comments yesterday, who think it is more cut and dry than it is. I don't think it is. And I would be happy with either way. Same with Punk Kingston. If Punk wins, that's great, because in Eddie's own mind, he doesn't care if he wins or loses. He just wants to beat up CM Punk. But if Kingston wins, holy heckins, you get that first Punk loss out of the way, you give it to someone like an Eddie Kingston, that is a massive, massive boon to him. And this feels like it's a series of matches as opposed to a one and done thing. This whole feud has been built on one promo segment on Rampage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so crazy to me that this incredible little storyline, it's like a 2 or 3 week build based off of a guy interrupting another guy's backstage promo segment.
Oh, yeah.
And it's incredible.
It's so good.
Because you just let two good promos go out there and cut promos on each other. Yeah. Oh, I love it. I absolutely love it.
I will say quickly
about like this card and AEW just in general. I think right now this card and this whole topic speaks to AEW having that goodwill. If they make a decision, it's like whenever Gato in New Japan would book something that I didn't see coming. In that case, I'm like, you are smarter than I. I trust that you have a vision and you have a plan and this is going to work out.
How did that work out for you in 2020?
Well, everything comes to an end. This is more something regarding Gato that took place like 3 or 4 or 5 years ago.
The evil thing may pay off.
Let it play out. Let it play out. But I don't have that same confidence when watching the other show, because I don't know why you would, but I have a lot of confidence watching this show that if they decide that Kenny Omega is the right choice to be world champion right now, that it's the right choice and it's going to pay off down the road. I have that confidence in them, and that just helps a lot with my enjoyment. I know I'm not going to have the rug taken out from under me.
I'm going to be curious. I think Jenna might be around. So Mod Mother Jenna, if you are there and you are able to put up a poll for us, we did a poll like this on a Dynamite episode about whether or not Hangman Page should win the title, yes or no. And it was overwhelmingly for Page to win. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see what difference that number would be this time round. So close, you know, 24 hours removed from, or 24 hours before Full Gear kicks into gear. Full Beer, if you will. Fullbeer52.com/WrestleTalk. Get yourself 10 free craft beers on us. What the reaction would be this time round. I actually think, going by like looking at the live chat here, looking at the comments on yesterday's particular video, it's actually going to be more weighted towards Paige than it was the last time we did it.
Thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
So the other thing I wanted to talk to you about is AEW cars. And this was something, there we go. Thank you very much. We have now got a poll up. So please do vote in that poll. Should Hangman Page win the title tomorrow? Thank you very much, moderators. I feel like I have got to be in my bonnet about this. I know other people have got to be in their bonnet about this, and I fully stand by them, but I know that it's not everyone has got to be in their body about this, be in their bonnets. There's only one women's card on this match that matters, right? Out of this 10-match card, like it is all dudes. And there are two women's matches. One of them is for the world title, and it really doesn't feel like it's a world title match. And the other one is a tag match that's on the pre-show.
Mm-hmm.
I am disappointed in AEW that there isn't more of an effort, because this happens every single show now. And I'm disappointed that more of an effort has not been made for this show, particularly because I could have sworn, like I would have put Louis Dangor money down that we were going to have Hikaru Shida versus Serena Deeb on this show.
Yeah. So odd, you know?
Yeah.
So odd. Like, between that match and obviously I've got a different mindset when it comes to this rivalry than they do, clearly, but I would have thought we would have seen a Britt Baker Thunder Rosa match by now. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I said that ahead of All Out, and people were like, "Oh, it's too soon to do the title change." And I was like, "Well, you don't need to do the title change here. Just do the match because it's a big match. And then you can build to a rematch where the title change happens." You know, if Britt Baker beats Thunder Rosa, she could say, "Oh, I'm 1-0 against Thunder Rosa. That other match doesn't count. How does it feel to have never beaten me, Thunder Rosa? Ha ha." You know, work some heel shtick into it. That's a really big match. And I feel like they kind of blew through their really big title match when they did Britt Baker and Ruby Soho on TV. And now they haven't really got that next big one to come right back with for the pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of think they maybe should have just held that one off until the pay-per-view. And it would have been like a really big match with a 2-month build and everything like that. Cause I love Ty Conti. I absolutely love, I think she's great and super improved from where she was when she left NXT. That being said, I don't think there's a chance that she wins this match. And I want that kind of suspension of disbelief when I watch the big title matches on pay-per-view. And it seems like I never really get that feeling watching the women's matches.
Yeah, I know, I agree with you here. Like, I'm a big Ty Conti fan, don't get me wrong. I think she's great. I think she's grand. But there was a moment on Dynamite this week when Britt Baker stood across the ring from Thunder Rosa and the crowd went bananas for it. And then when Baker stood across the ring from Conti, less so. The crowd went mild, because I think that tells you that what the audience appetite is right now is for that big match. And I totally get the argument of holding off on it. I totally get that argument, because kind of like what we were saying about Omega Danielson, you want to make people really want to see that match. And I totally get that argument. The other side of that coin, and why that argument doesn't hold that much water in this scenario, is that there isn't another big match to fall back on. Like, if you don't do Danielson versus Omega 2 in, you know, an early January, and winter is coming, a revolution and stuff, you have got 5 or 6 big time matches that you can fall back on to be like, yeah, well, okay, well, I can see why they're delaying Danielson Omega 2, because you've got Omega Punk, you've got Omega Page, you've got Omega Cole, you've got like all of these matches that you can fall back on. Omega Kingston, for God's sake. With Britt Baker, it feels like she has Thunder Rosa and that's it. And there's Ruby Soho as well, which has already beaten Ruby. So, like, there's no other big matches for them to fall back on. So we're now, and I like the fact that Conti is getting this shot, but it doesn't feel as big time on a card that is stacked full of big time matches.
Yeah, and I agree. I think there are still possibilities that they could have worked with here. I think you could have come back with a Hikaru Shida Britt Baker rematch from Double or Nothing.
100%.
Like, that would have been one of the bigger matches that they could have done in the women's division. It doesn't feel like they're putting that same level of thinking into the women's title matches on pay-per-view as they are when it's like, we need to have the big, big world championship match in the main event, and the tag title match has got to be really big and important and everything. And it's like, do the same thing for them, because they've got the talent now. Women's division is there. You've got Ruby Soho and Hikaru Shida and Serena Deeb and Thunder Rosa, and there's so many options now. And I understand if you have plans for some of them, but like, come on, you can work with us a little bit here. Put something on pay-per-view that has a little bit more meat to it than what we've been given.
So I think it'd be a really good match tomorrow. Like, I think it will be.
I'm really looking
match.
Forward to it.
And I think the content, Baker in particular, because the crowd are so into Britt Baker at the moment. Like, she can get anyone into any match that she is going to put them again. So I don't think that there's any danger of that. But I do think that there is this sort of like overall aesthetic with AEW that it is, the women's matches are so secondary within this company. And that is, it's hard to avoid. And it is like, I mean, Alex Queen of the Ring did an incredible Twitter Spaces about this last night after Tony Khan's less than sensible answer he had about like an all women's AEW pay-per-view. I mean, I nearly had it as the topic for this video, but I thought, you know what? Like, two white guys with beards are probably not the people to be like having this, probably not having this level of bait. I would suggest everyone go and like check out Alex Queen of the Ring, sort of like thread and thoughts on this. Go and see what she has to say about the situation. But the tag match on the pre-show, if it was me booking it, I would have Cody and Pac versus Malakai Black and Andrade on the kickoff show. Like, that for me as a buy-in, if your whole goal of the buy-in, if your whole goal of the kickoff show is to make people want to buy the pay-per-view, put that Smegan match on there, right? Because that's four huge names. It's four big names. And that will do more for your pay-per-view buys than putting four women out there whose only connection is, well, they're in the tournament brackets together for the TBS title.
Hell, you could have even done like a big tournament match on the pay-per-view.
100%. Why isn't, absolutely bloody exactly. Why isn't Soho versus Statlander on the show?
Yeah. Like, that doesn't need to have a huge storyline behind it. It's just, it's a tournament match with two good wrestlers, and I'm sure they'll go out and tear the house down. You know, yeah. I mean, yeah, I agree. I think the men's tag on the pre-show would have led more people to buy the show than just a seemingly fairly random collection of women, you know, without much behind it, with just, oh, they're in the tournament, that's it, you know?
Yeah.
I agree. I would have done this differently.
before we sort of move into people's Ultra Chats, are there any other matches that you want to highlight that you'd really like to talk about before we move on?
Ooh, that's tough. I will say, I think my only real point that I want to make is that I want Hangman Page and Kenny Omega to be like the best match of all time.
I know, right?
You know?
I want this to be real good.
I want this to be like the epic conclusion to one of the best wrestling stories that I've seen in my time watching wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
I want that. I want that to be a thing. That being said, I have a hard time thinking that Bryan Danielson versus Miro won't be like the best thing that I've ever seen.
Well, that's because like Danielson, we joked about this when we did the SmackDown review a couple of weeks ago. Danielson just woke up early one morning in sort of like August and thought to himself, huh, I think I'm just going to be the best wrestler in the world.
Yeah,
I've got a few months on. Got a few months left in the year. I can win the Wrestling Observer Wrestler of the Year if I try a bit hard. I reckon I could do that. So he's just gone out there in AEW and he's just like, yeah, you know, who am I facing? Rocky Romero, cool. I'll have the best match on the card. Fine. I that's just what he's doing. Well, Anthony Bowens, yeah, cool. I'll have the best match on the card. Just so I think there's every chance it's going to be an absolute banger and the best match on the show.
I think it will. So it's so weird that I was like, if I had to pick the best match on the show, I'm like, it will probably be Bryan Danielson and Miro. But I also want Hangman Page and Kenny Omega to be like the best match of all time. And I can't have both of those two things. You know? It's like how Omega Okada 4. Yeah,
you can have all of it. You can have it all.
I want it all. I'm greedy. I want it. I want my cake and I want to eat it too. You know? Oh,
because
man.
For me, like I think Punk Kingston has every chance of stealing the show.
Oh, yeah.
I really, because, and I think what is really going to help that is a Money in the Bank 2011 level crowd. That is just like, because that's the thing I love about this feud built on one promo segment. It's how great these two are, is that the audience, the AEW audience, is thirsty for this match. Like are rabid for this match. So I think when those two men are standing across the ring from each other and that bell rings, the crowd are gonna go ballistic. And I think that is really gonna help elevate this match.
Oh man, I love being there for AEW pay-per-view crowds. It's really something special, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, I wish I was there for this weekend. I really do, because there's a lot of these matches where I was just like, oh, I want to see that live. I really do.
I cannot wait for this company to come across the sea, come across, like, you know, things are opening up again, like, please.
Yeah.
Can I have a little crumb? Look, I've seen one AEW match live in my life, and it was at a different, it was at a show in Nottingham in a gym hall. I'd like to see a big AEW pay-per-view, please.
Please, sir. Can I have some AEW, sir?
That's how I feel every time I'm watching one of these shows. I was like, maybe next year will be the year that we get something over here. Right, let's move into your Ultra Chats, because you have got a bunch to say on this. Also, update on the poll. So 11 minutes ago, but nearly 800 votes on this. So you've still got time to vote in there. It's at the top of the thread. 86% think that Hangman Page should win the title. That's a landslide victory.
That's pretty one-sided.
And I think that 14% of people who are voting no is Ollie Davis making burner accounts. So, listen to me. Please also click the link in the video description down below, or the one being provided by our wonderful moderators, to beer52.com/wrestletalk. Get yourself not one, not two, not three, but 10 free craft beer from Beer 52. It's UK viewers only, but they are the most wonderful human beings. They've supported us a lot over the years. They've been sponsoring us a lot this year, and they're sponsoring like so many shows this year. They're sponsoring tomorrow's AEW Full Gear live reactions. Ollie and I are super, super thrilled. And also, Tempest, I'm getting the train in to the studio tomorrow to do the live reactions. I'm not driving. That means I can have a beer.
I don't know what I'm going to be drinking. I don't know what I'm drinking tomorrow.
And I'm really excited about it. I'm going to have a beer with Ollie, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm going to get the train at 8 a.m. the following morning, stinking of booze and looking like a right weirdo to all of like, the people who are just trying to get out of London. Yeah, it's going to be a hell of a lot of fun. So we're at a bit of a change of pace as well. We're doing the live reactions, and then like half an hour after the show is finished, we're doing the podcast review. Ollie and I are going to stick around in the studio, and we're going to be reviewing the show basically directly after the show has finished. We've got some like admin bits to do in that half hour period. Yeah, we're going to be doing a full podcast review directly-ish after the show has finished, which I'm very excited about.
At least it'll be fresh in your mind.
It'll be so fresh in my mind, although I will be a sleepy boy because...
Yeah, I was about to say... Oh man!
I mean, this is a six-hour show, right? Like, this is a five-hour show at the bare minimum. I think it may go like super duper long. This may be an experiment that only lasts for 2 weeks because we're going to do a Survivor series as well. But Ollie may be like, "I'm too tired and I need to go home and have some sleep before the next one."
Mm-hmm. All right.
The Guilty Hat says, at this point, I'm more interested to see Omega without the belt. He doesn't need it for another match with Brian. And the story of him losing big matches while Cole and the Bugs are winning fuels a story around the line, the Elite is for winners.
There's a lot of possibilities here. There's a lot of possibilities. Also, can I throw this out there as a possible scenario?
Mm-hmm.
Omega loses. He needs something to do afterwards. He comes out with Don Callis to talk. And then, I don't know if this is going to make the noise that I want it to, but Okada comes out Dynamite next.
That was actually pretty good. That was a pretty good
one. I was like, oh, I kind of got it. Pretty good. You know? Okada comes out there next week, and you can build to a potential next Okada match.
Oh,
takes him away from the title picture, gives him something else to do, and that would be a pretty interesting direction.
Do it in the UK. Plasma PD says, morning, Luke and Tempest. I think Adam Page will win because the story makes sense he would win here. But if he doesn't win, then All Out next year has to be the time. Also, I'm hoping one day the Pillars will form a Nexus-like faction. I do remember a Jim Cornette quote where he said, you can't keep having a babyface who is over and have them losing to be the champion. They're going to lose momentum and could lose fans, so I think TK will pull the trigger. So a couple of interesting points there. I sort of agree with you mostly, Plasma PD, but I kind of also like the idea of those four pillars of AEW being on its heel faction.
This came up a couple months ago. I think it was when I did the review of the Grand Slam show. I don't foresee MJF and Jungle Boy ever being in a faction together.
I also don't foresee people booing Jungle Boy.
Yeah.
His hair's too nice.
MJF and Jungle Boy together, it's like matter and antimatter trying to cooperate.
How will they possibly coexist?
Other ends of the scale working in a faction together. I don't know. I don't really see it, but I could be wrong.
8-Bit Archer. Guys, it's got to be Hangman, right? It's just a perfect spot to spin everything off. Hangman's vindication. Kenny start to unravel. Cole waiting in the wings. Danielson lurking like an environmentally friendly vegan murdering shark. Homestar fans. That's good. Homestar fan said, I personally feel like Paige needs to win this match. Holding out on the title win for longer might risk people being burnt out on the storyline. Also, I feel like Danielson Omega doesn't need the title. And I completely agree with you. And I 100% agree with you. Whenever I say Danielson Omega too, the reason why I'm talking about that in relation to Omega winning is because Danielson's probably going to be the next contender for the title. Where then do I go towards that? Adam Weiss said, I think Hangman beats Omega, then beats the man Omega couldn't beat, Brian Danielson, furthering a Kenny downward spiral that leads to Adam Cole stealing the Young Bucks away from him, possibly coinciding with Kevin Steen joining AEW and Kenny's alone with Don Callis.
I'll be very interested to see with all of this, because I could see Hangman Page winning the title, and then the focus kind of shifting onto Kenny from that character point of view, you know, because Kenny's obviously been the champion and his story is being the champion. You know, he gets the title defenses and that's what he's focused on. Meanwhile, Hangman Page is the one who's had like the really deep introspective character arc with all of this. if they move the title from one to the other, I think Kenny could be the one to have like that really deep character arc coming out of this about, you know, his insecurities and the Elite and his former friends, and maybe get Kota Ibushi involved. I don't know, spitballing here. But I think there's a lot of possibilities to have his focus be on the character and the storyline that he's gone through since arriving in AEW. Because it's basically been Paige since the start of the company, really.
But Tempest, I'm sure you were making really excellent points there, but I'll be honest with you, I stopped listening at one point because I just saw someone say this in the chat and I went to go double check it. The 1990s X-Men animated series is getting a revival, currently titled X-Men 97, and will premiere on Disney Plus in 2023.
Well, isn't that exciting?
Isn't that exciting? We're getting a
series. I don't know what that means.
We're getting, like, we're, the X-Men animated series is coming back. Nostalgia lives on. Oh, very exciting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Long ways away, though. Punk Rocks and Soda says, I can't disagree with Kenny winning more. I think holding off on Paige again could possibly risk fans turning on the storyline, especially considering how long this has been built and how perfectly everything has been told with the Dark Order integration. I've seen a few people mention this about people getting burnt out on the storyline. I thought the same thing when he lost the 10-man tag, that that might burn out. Then he came back and he won, and then he got that massive pop in the casino ladder match. And I was like, I think this guy might just be the guy that always gets the pop.
Yeah. He's your top babyface. Like, he really is, you know, and he's got a different character where he can lose, but it doesn't hurt him as a character, you know, because it allows him to change. And as long as if they just went right back to the match again, you know, and there's no change in the storyline, it's just, oh, he lost, let him try again, then yeah, I think you'd probably get burnt out on it. But it's the fact that he's changed as a character so much. Like, each match is therefore different because he's a different character. And you could keep doing that for a very long time, in my opinion, and you wouldn't lose me as a viewer. Maybe other people are different, that's fine. But I know for me, I'm excited to see Hangman Page continue to grow and evolve as a character, whether he wins or loses.
Final tally on the poll, 86% went for the yes vote. Yes, yes, 86%. That is a landslide. Colin said, have the Elite interfere in the tournament final so that Miro wins because Kenny is afraid of Danielson, and then have that backfire when Danielson stops the Elite in the main event so Hangman wins. Then you can get Hangman versus Miro and Kenny versus Bryan. Peter Mullins, I agree that you could extend Paige Omega for the biggest etching ever. However, in the world of COVID injuries, booking clashes, and new signings, you have to pull the trigger now. This is a moment where they can control, and they have control of the situation, and they have to go. Meme Man said, here's my guess. We've already had Bryan versus Omega to a draw, but not had much has changed with either character, so there could still be a stalemate. The only person I could see taking the belt off Omega other than Bryan is Hangman Page. Page wins at Full Gear. Chuck Cassis says, good morning, good afternoon, lads. After hearing conversations with people when AEW was in Cincinnati, that the latest they'd wait to see Hangman win is Full Gear. I think that seeing Kenny as a champ every week is great, but will be stale soon. Much love. Will Campbell said, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with Kenny being champion is stale. Especially when they had that segment on Dynamite this past week.
Yeah.
It just makes me love him even more. Now he's back with Callis again. Good Lord, did I get swerved by that segment. And it was just beautiful.
I loved it. I love that segment so much because they so totally got me. I noticed the cameraman.
Yes.
Got in the way twice. And I was like,
didn't you think it was weird? Didn't you think it was weird? And like,
because they kept
then cutting to another camera shot. I was like, oh, that's Tony Khan, like saying, get that camera guy out of the shot. Like, he's ruining, I've got to keep cutting to different camera angles. I thought it was so weird, but I never at any point thought, no, it's Don Callis.
Yeah. I never thought more of it than just, oh, this is a cameraman that just keeps getting in the way. Like, it happened twice, and I was like, what is going on with this cameraman? And then he attacked him, and I went, of course, it makes perfect sense. Yeah, I loved that, and I've been a really big fan of Kenny Omega's title run. And if it ends here, I think it's been a fantastic title run. If it continues, I think it could just keep getting better. Like, I know some people might get burnt out on it, but I'm really into it.
Will Campbell said, hi, guys. I think if you're going to put the title on Paige, you should do it here, especially after the go-home contract in blood angle. Also, like All Out, the pay-per-view is being shown in theaters. I and my younger sister are driving 19 minutes to New Jersey to go and see it. I'm sorry that you've got to go to New Jersey. James Hanley said, if Paige wins, I've no beef with New Jersey. I just hear that it's rubbish. If Paige wins, then the only way it could be better if is Cody comes out to present Paige with the title, takes a picture with Paige, and generally stands next to Paige the entire time, thinking to himself, you did it, Cody. The face of the company. No more booze.
What if he hands him the title and does the point?
Yes. Danny says, Hangman has to win here, or he risks becoming another Luger or Strowman. Guys who won titles... Sorry, things just changed. Guys who win titles but are considered choke artists. He needs to win his career-defining big match. He could lose it soon after. Thank you for your due. Congratulations for becoming DAD. That's an excellent point, actually, there that I will raise again, Danny. Kenny's final line in that video package was, I'm Kenny Omega, and I win big matches. Hangman Page always loses big matches.
Mm-hmm.
WH says, purely on the Page Omega story, I think there's mileage left. Hangman hasn't got over his drinking, for example. However, I don't want to be going into Omega versus Danielson, Miro, Punk, knowing who's winning, so I think they should just pull the trigger now. Brian Moore said, Page's world title win has been built since AEW began. He got the first world title match against Jericho, and fans rejected him. He got over in his tag team with Omega, has big confidence hits with losing to Omega, Brian Cage, and the Dark Order. Sari says, Omega to lose and go away to heal himself and how banged up he's been. Get Okada in, then, or Ishii to have matches against Danielson. Kenny ain't close to 100%. Keep him away from Okada. But really, whatever AEW does, I just trust them.
Oh, my God. You saying Ishii against Bryan Danielson. Oh, I would just melt. That gets my gears going.
And a hot tag over to you to read up some of these Ultra Chats.
Very good. Thomas Fitzgerald says, I think the Danielson-Miro match ends with Miro winning due to interference by Callis Omega because they're looking past Page and are scared of a Danielson title shot. Then Hangman, motivated even more by this, beats Omega. Thoughts?
Yeah, there's every chance. Like, yeah, I think if Danielson wins, then there is going to be like so much talk on commentary about, man, Danielson Omega 2. And like whether that is what gets into Kenny's head.
Yeah. I will say the idea I heard earlier as well, that the Elite beat up Brian. I don't love interference in a bunch of different matches in AEW. I like more clean finishes and whatnot. So I would prefer clean finishes. But the Elite costing Brian Danielson the match and then him coming out in the main event to run them off, allowing for the clean match, I don't hate that. Mm-hmm. I think there's something there to that, and that could be fun. Cavum87 says, on Wednesday, TK tweeted it would be a good episode to hook a friend into watching AEW. With the episode heavily referencing New Japan Pro Wrestling, it seems that TK was using this to have fans educate new fans on NJPW for an inevitable crossover, specifically Okada. I was thinking he might have shown up last week, but maybe next week. I don't know. I'm holding out hope. Marmalade squeeze. Yeah. I hope so. He's in America. It's gotta happen.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say. I'm gonna change that. It's not gonna happen soon, but it will happen.
Oh, it will happen. It's gotta happen. We need Kenny Okada 5. We need
Tony's not an idiot.
No,
like, is it like he's like looking at me like who? Who am I booking against Omega now?
Just some guy.
The man knows what he's doing.
None of those casuals will know who he is. Marmalade Squeeze says, since Moxley was originally supposed to be in the title eliminator stuff and he was apparently projected to turn heel, it could have played out in the mix that Mox beat Brian with help from Kingston and then challenged Hangman. So they're using the next biggest heel.
It's a good point.
It's a very good point, you know, and I like that whenever they do things like this where someone needs replacing, that doesn't automatically mean they're going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just think that's fun. Keith Lloyd says, a podcast with my favorites, Tempo and the DAD minus Terry the Cat. Could you guys see a debuting or guest appearance from CJ Perry Saturday? That's Lana, for anyone unaware. Also, what match intrigues you guys the most at Full Gear? I'm undecided between Punk versus Kingston and Brian versus Miro.
Based on the conversation that we've had today, it's Paige Omega. That is the one that intrigues me the most. Following up from that, it's Punk and Kingston. It's Pink and Kingston.
I was going to say that, damn it. Yeah, my answer would be the same. It's those two, and Brian Miro is up there as well. Mm-hmm. New Punk Rant says, Paige Omega, ooh, Eddie sorry, and Punk.
We, sorry, to answer the question, could we see CJ Perry this Saturday? I don't know.
I don't really need to see Lana in AEW personally. You know, I like it better with her being this mythical figure that Miro talks about in all the promos. You know, like, I'm sure if she shows up, they would do a good job. Like, she was a good manager for him and everything. But I just like what Miro's got going on right now, and I don't really want to see a change.
Yeah.
You know? New Punk Rant says, Paige Omega, Eddie Punk, and Darby MJF. I haven't even talked about Darby and MJF.
I know.
Crazy stuff. Alone are massively well-told stories. It's mind-blowing how deep the upper mid-card and main event scene is and how many stories are told. It's definitely a marathon, and AEW still feels like it's not even reached a peak.
100%. 100p. I completely agree with you on that one.
Completely agree as well. It's such good stuff. I love this. Love it. Brian Moore said, hi, Brian. I know, Brian. I think it would do more damage for Miro to lose than Brian, and while an Okada reign for Omega could be good, I don't think it will work and will make people turn on Omega's reign, and it will be difficult to maintain Paige's momentum. It's entirely possible. It's a different promotion. It's a different setup than New Japan, for sure. But these are all talented guys. I think they can make it work. Lakshmi Narasimhan B says, looking forward to Hangman getting his shot, hopefully. The perfect feud right now to turn Punk heel, Darby winning, MJF then blaming Wardlow and getting beat up for his troubles, and Baker retaining. Hope Miro wins. Maybe the Elite shenanigans, question mark. So Brian Omega 2. I am also looking forward to Dan Lambert eating a whole lot of Finnish spam before tapping to It's a Boston Crab.
I mean, I loved that segment on Dynamite with Dan Lambert hitting the power bomb and then shouting it's a Boston Crab. I know there are people who don't like the Inner Circle jerks and American Top Team feud. I dig it, man. And I like Dan Lambert.
I mean, it's classic heel stuff, you know. It's just, yeah, I don't know. It's tricky. Kevin May says, so the Punk Eddie match, this anger filled match with that has a no DQ stipulation, could we see a DQ win for Punk when Eddie beats the ever loving crap out of him? Also, I love AEW, but the mishandling of the women's division is starting to piss me off. It must change.
Yep.
Agreed.
Agreed. So much agreed. And I'm glad someone else brought that up in the Ultra Chats as well. Thank you so much. Cause yeah, I completely agree. As far as I'm aware, did I misread that? But I think the Punk Kingston match is just a singles match. I just wanted to go and double check that.
Just a singles match. I don't see a DQ.
Yeah.
Because AEW doesn't do DQs like that.
Yeah. I think what Kevin might have been saying is like it has no DQ stipulation. So we may see like a DQ finish. I don't think they'll do a DQ finish though.
No. I do not think that crowd would take kindly to a DQ finish match.
No, they would not.
Thomas Correa has been a member for 3 months in a row. Woo, yeah, members. I think that Danielson or Punk one could be a loss. My pick is Miro wins to build a heel for Hangman, and Punk wins to bring out a more badass Punk. Both very possible. Very possible indeed. The mayor of Painesville, Dan. Hi, Dan. Says, hey, guys, what if Adam wins and Dark Order come out to celebrate, and boom, they all attack and Adam ending his show? That is a terrible idea. Dan, you had me Dan, for the first half of that.
Dan, honestly, come on, Dan. I love you like a brother. That is one of the, that is. If Louis Dangor had,
I was going to say Louis.
I would say that he was baiting everyone.
Yeah, that's a terrible idea. I fully expect Hangman to win, and then Dark Order come out, and the show goes off the air with Hangman on their shoulders. Yeah. That's how the pay-per-view goes off the air. They're not going to Batista drop him or anything.
Absolutely not. Oh, Dan. No. Dan just wants to watch the world burn.
See, but it's Dan. You know, it's Dan. Like, I keep thinking that Dan's a gimmick, but Dan's not a gimmick.
I love him so much. What a great guy.
Oh, that's good. Great stuff. Jayla Turner says, I think people were willing to accept the 10-man tag loss because Hangman had to take time off because of his baby, so they had to write him out. But to intentionally prolong his feud even more might kill the momentum.
What I would say there, Jayla, is how many people knew that he took the time off for the kid? That would be my sort of counter to that. Not saying that you're wrong. Just saying that would be my counter to that.
That's a good point. I still thought he was going to get the title shot at All Out after that. I thought they were going to work around it. James Handley says, my problem with the women's division has been the same since late 2020. AEW has the components for a solid division with enough young talent to be great in a couple of years. They just don't give them airtime. For whatever reason, they squander every opportunity.
Saw someone like being like, well, they're not over. It's like, because they've been given a chance to get over.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. It's tough. Lord Jackson says, Paige winning is obvious, so I'll ask a different question. How long until the women's championship main events a pay-per-view? Considering Britt is their golden girl, if she doesn't main event once, i.e. Britt Rosa, then I have no faith that it will ever happen. I think if you're going to do it, that would be the match.
That's exactly what I was going to say, yeah. Like, if it's not Britt Rosa, I agree with you, Lord Jackson. Like, I don't have much more confidence that it would actually main event a pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. Josh says, off topic, shout out to Sturry13. Sorry, this has just been moved around. Where has it gone? Okay, Josh says, when will Sullivan Bo Brown challenge for the Jam That Championship? Time to make the Bo-hood dream come true. Also, look, if you do your interview podcast, would you do any of the NRB crew? I'd also love to hear more about how everyone met, backstories, etc. 100% I would do. Whether I don't think that my interview podcast idea will ever come to fruition. I'd love to do it, but I'd only love to do it right now because I'm listening to so much Adam Buxton and Chris Van Vliet. So that's why I'm like, I'd love to do an interview podcast where I just chat with people. But if I did, 100%, I'd be getting Sullivan, I'd be getting Blair, I'd be getting Tom, the whole crew on there. As for Sullivan Bo Brown challenging for the title, hey, who knows? You never know. Kevin said, off topic, shout out to Sturry13, a French streamer YouTube who did a watch along on his Twitch channel of Monday's Wrestle Talk News. It was good fun reacting to him, and we laughed at Luke's running gag on Shane Helms. Well, I'm glad someone did, because there are a few people who were not happy with me doing that joke.
Oh, brother. Misha
says, question for Tempest. Danielson's return match was full of spots that referenced his part matches. What reference spots would you like to see in the Page Omega match? My little idea is that Hangman wins not with the buckshot, but with a rainmaker.
Interesting. See, it's tough because, like, I don't think of any significant spots that happened, like, in their full gear match last year that they could go back to. You know, there's like a lot of really memorable spots from certain matches. Like Okada and Tanahashi had their wrist control thing that they've gone back to. Okada and Omega had different things that they went back to. I don't really have a moment like that where they have that same similar thing between Page and Omega. The only ones that I can really think about would be like maybe Hangman goes for the one-winged angel because he hit that in the Revolution tag match. And because the one that's really stuck out to me is Hangman teasing going for the buckshot at Revolution, which they then have gone back to a few times since then in different promos and segments and stuff like that. That to me has kind of been the tease. I don't know what comes up in a match the same way, but maybe I'm just not thinking of something.
Shout out to Sat, who has joined us in the chat to say the Wrestling Daily wants a shot at the championship. I think that is something that we could possibly arrange. Phoenix says, hey, Luke, DAD and Tempest, watching for some time. I want advice. Watching Full Gear with a friend who hasn't seen any AEW and not watched wrestling since they were a child. How in-depth do I give in terms of context and history with each match's story? Here is my bit of advice for you, Phoenix. Watch the countdown.
Absolutely.
The countdown show that they've got airing before the pay-per-view is going to do everything that, like, it will do your job for you, and it will do it, and with no disrespect, better than you will. Like, in the same way that it would do better than I would. It would do better than Tempest would, because they have got these stories down. So that would be my advice. Get them to watch the countdown. So it'll be an hour, and it will catch them up with absolutely everything that they need to know. The legit underboss, or maybe just watch the pre-show because they'll have all the video packages. The legit underboss, I'm calling it right now, Revolution 2022, Britt versus Rosa exploding barbed wire death match. I don't think they're going to go back to that one.
No, I think they've kind of blown their load on that a little bit.
Well, did they blow their load, Tempest? That was the problem. They didn't blow any loads.
It's true. Oh, man. Just reading Moxley's book and hearing the conversation he was having with Kingston when that happened. He was like, what happened? I think that sucked. Did that suck? What happened? Yeah, it sucked. They're telling me it sucked. What do we do? Do I lie here? Oh, man.
Never been so sad for a finish of a wrestling match. Bum me out, man. The Legit Underboss continues to say, not AEW related, but Tempest, who are your picks for the best of the Super Junior Tag League?
Ooh, New Japan. Best of the Super Junior, I would like to see Sho win this year. I don't know if they're going to do that because the heel is IWGP Junior champion right now. Hiromu is always a good chance. I could see Robbie Eagles winning too. There's a bunch of different people. With the Tag League, I think Naito and Sonata are going to win it.
And lastly for now, Peter Mullins said, quite simply, Luke, how do you feel about the new Godzilla? Oh, sorry, how do you feel about the new Ghostbusters movie? I mean, I'm always feeling about new Godzilla. Before we get to that, we'll end on this. Legit Underboss has also said, I can only be sure of one thing. Hangman needs to become the second person to ever kick out of the One-Winged Angel. We did not talk about this. Mm-hmm. Do you do that spot in this match?
No. You do it in the eventual rematch. You can build this whole... You get the big pop of Hangman winning in this match. Get another big pop in another match where he kicks out. Save it. You don't need to put all the eggs in the one basket. You can have this match be great and still hold off on a big moment or two for the future.
And lastly, from Peter Mullins, and I'm going to read this one out correctly this time. Quite simply, Luke, how do you feel about the new Ghostbusters? I saw the trailer today for the first time yesterday, and I popped for you. Peter Mullins, I've watched that trailer, the second trailer, I should say. Excuse me, multiple times over, and I've cried every single time. I am seeing it Monday evening at a special screening ahead of its release at the end of the week. I haven't been this excited for a movie since Endgame.
Oh,
I am so stoked to watch this movie. I've cried at every single thing that they have released since they had that first teaser, which was literally just a bit of sheet lifts up and reveals the Ecto-1. And I was like, this is going to be the greatest movie I've ever seen. This is going to be the greatest sequel ever made. I am so super duper excited, and I cannot wait. I was showing off Tempest my Ghostbusters. There it is there. On the Commodore 64.
Of course.
Another Commodore 64 release. And then there's my Sinclair Spectrum release of Ghostbusters.
Yep.
Then I've got all my VHS collection up there. And my DVDs. My laser discs. And my Blu-rays. It's the greatest, Tempest. The best film ever made.
I really want this movie to be good for you. Like, I will enjoy it too, because I love Ghostbusters, but I want this to be great for you.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend of mine earlier, and he was like, even if it's bad, I think I'm still going to love it. Like, because I think it's just going to be everything that I need it to be. Like, it doesn't have to be amazing, but it will probably be everything that I need it to be. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I very much agree with him on that one. Also, welcome to the chat. That's just before we leave. SP3, he's got to deal with the snow in Minneapolis. Hangman better win.
I have heard that it's supposed to snow all weekend in Minneapolis.
I heard it was cold out there because Denise was saying that
Denise
she is
not happy.
Denise is not happy. She is a California girl. She don't have a wardrobe for Minneapolis snow weather. Anyway,
Cry me a river,
dick face. I'm not going.
It's Canada.
When you got there and it was sunny, be like, oh my god, I'm not ready for this weather.
Yeah, walk out in shorts.
Anyway, thank you all so much for joining us here on this very special episode of the Wrestle Talk podcast. Thank you, Tempest, for taking the time out of your day to join us on this show. It's always a delight to do a podcast with you, particularly when we get to nerd out about AEW for an hour. Like I did, yeah. I honestly thought I was like, well, we might get an hour out of the show. Easily got an hour out of this show. Have you got anything you'd like to plug before we go?
Just everyone stay tuned to Parts of Unknown. We got a lot of fun stuff coming there in the next few weeks and months. So, if you haven't already, subscribe to Parts of Unknown. You will not regret it.
And you can go over to beer52.com/wrestle talk. We've just had a chat come in, so I'm going to really read that now. Kevin says, quick thought. Can you see Maria Kanellis coming in to take charge of the AEW's women's division if Ring of Honor is no more? Also, Paige has to win, please.
I don't know about like take. I don't hate it by any means. No, I think Maria has done a fantastic job with Ring of Honor in her time there. I don't know how easy someone can just walk in and like take charge of something in AEW quite the same way. But I would very much like to see her involved, without a doubt. I would like to see her influence on the women's division. I think that'd be great.
Tempo, aside from full gear tomorrow, what do you got planned for the weekend?
My plans besides a full out this weekend, I don't think I have too much on the docket. I'm just going to kind of try and stay on top of work a little bit. I'm going to watch the show tomorrow, which I do plan on taking up most of my day because it will probably be 5 or 6 hours in total.
Time to start for you.
That's a good question. I think the pre-show will probably start at like 6 p.m.
Yeah.
That sounds about right. Maybe 7 p.m. I can never keep track. Every single pay-per-view, every single show that's not a weekly TV show, I 100% the day of will Google, like, what time does the show start? No matter what. WWE pay-per-view, NXT TakeOver, AEW show, New Japan show, I have no idea what time these shows start.
I have to every time because I set the streams up for the live reactions. So I have to go to the WWE network to be like, when is the show on? Because I'm not Googling it, because that would be, you'll never get an answer. So I just go to like the WWE network, find the schedule and like go and find it there. I've actually just had to go to Fights to find out when Full Gear starts. It starts at 1 a.m. for us. So that's the main show, which means the pre-show starts at midnight.
Okay. So pre-show start at 7. Regular show starts at 8. Show will probably be done around maybe a little past midnight, I would think.
Yeah. Are you watching it alone or with friends?
I will probably watch it with friends. I was very, very happy on Wednesday this week because I didn't have any plans. So I was just going to do my work and then watch Dynamite as I normally do. And I get a text like at 2 p.m. or so just saying like, hey, are you watching Dynamite today? I was like, yeah. I was like, can I come? I want to watch. I was like, people are getting into it. I've hooked my friends. They're watching AEW now and they want to. They don't just watch it because I have it on. Like they're actually like, can I come over and watch the show? You know?
How did they find it?
Oh, they thought it was great. You know, I thought this I haven't really gotten a chance to talk about Dynamite at all, but I thought this was one of like the great go home shows that I've seen. You know, especially with that contract signing segment. We were just blown away by that.
Damn good, right? Damn good. So yeah, I mean, so tomorrow I hang out with the kid, I guess, during the day. Like, I don't think I'm gonna get a chance to nap. and then get the train across to London and do the live reactions, do the podcast, then come back on Sunday. My parents are then coming over Sunday afternoon. So I might only get like a few hours kip. Like by the time I get back before my parents come over.
That's rough.
But it's going to be more rough next weekend because it's Survivor Series next weekend. It's on a Sunday, which means I'll get the train into London, watch Survivor Series, do the podcast review with Ollie, then get the train back home. And because I've got something booked in for the Wednesday and no one else is around, I've got to do the news on Monday. So I've got to do the evening news. So I basically got to come home and then write the news.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You poor man. I do not envy your schedule, sir.
I'm 35 years old. Mm-hmm. Like I'm 35 years old. I'm a dad. I can't be getting a train at 8 a.m., then coming home and writing and then presenting it on the green screen. I'm going to look awful. I'm going to look so
ham it up. Walk in and just be like, "This is AEW Full Gear. It's Full Gear." Yeah.
I am going to be an absolute mess. So yeah, I mean, it's the late news. So I guess like I got a bit of a reprieve, but Christmas Day. It's going to be awful. It's going to be rubbish.
Yeah.
But yeah, do you know what? I'm excited. I like doing this job. I wouldn't do any other job really. So I don't mind really. Like, so poor you. Paid to watch wrestling and talk about it. You poor soul, you.
Yeah, I had a very similar reaction earlier this year where we did our crazy WrestleMania schedule because we decided to schedule FanQuizzleMania right in the middle of that week.
Yep, good work.
Brilliant. But I was on there with Andy and Adam, and Adam immediately pops up. He's just like, "Screw yourself, Tempest. You don't have to be up late watching all these shows." I was like, "I have to film and review both of these takeovers the night that they happen. I've been up until like 4 a.m. three nights in a row because of these shows." And he's like, "No, screw yourself. You don't have to stay up late and watch this. You don't know the pain that we feel." And I was like, "Oh, okay."
Ollie's a very sleepy boy when it comes to doing live reactions and stuff. Adam's grumpy. Like, he's so grumpy about having to stay up that late. It's hilarious. I never thought I'd get that reaction from him doing live reactions. But when we did the SummerSlam reactions, he's just a grumpy man. Being like, "Why am I here? This is stupid.
Why did the British folk seem to become the center of wrestling YouTube?
You know? Right? Why is it
like
us?
Why did it have to be y'all? You guys are in like the worst spot to be doing this.
I know, and yet here we are. Before we go, I'm going to do another screen share. I don't know, how much do you care about Star Wars?
I like Star Wars a lot. Quite a bit.
They released some concept art for the Obi-Wan Kenobi series.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to share my screen, because I haven't actually had a proper chance to look at these yet. So I'm going to share... I'll do a Chrome tab in case I've got anything bad open. I haven't, but just in case.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So that, I like that. Obi-Wan facing off against Vader. So that's cool.
I don't know when that's supposed to happen.
Yep, that's that's Kenobi. It's clearly Tatooine there. You can see that in the background. Some stormtroopers on... That looks to be like Coruscant.
Yeah, I was about to say. It looks a lot better than whatever 2002 computer they made Coruscant in for the prequel movie.
A little ship there. Very cool.
Very nice. Very cool indeed.
Although, as someone has pointed out, communism will win, has pointed out here on the old Twitter machine. Disney is once again trampling over the original trilogy. Vader says to him in A New Hope, "When I left you, I was but a learner. Now I'm the master." He would definitely not be the learner by the time. It was significantly stronger than Kenobi. This is just fan service. Hey, I mean, maybe he still will be a learner.
Maybe. By the time maybe it's a dream. Yeah. Maybe it's a dream.
It's a dream. You know?
There's ways around it. Because, yeah, they've really locked themselves into a box with a lot of these sort of things. With the way that they told the stories, the prequels and the original trilogy, where it's like, no, Yoda and Obi-Wan Kenobi did nothing of note for 20 years between episodes 3 and 4. They just sat in the desert and in a swamp. That's it. So you can't really tell stories that much about what's gone. An episode of a show, maybe, but this will be interesting. I'm very curious. I've been meaning to like have a conversation with you about Star Wars, so, like just like in an After Dark or something like that, where you just get into it for an extended period. Because I know I think I saw one of like you did a, like a ranking or a tier list or a breakdown or something of all the Star Wars movies. And I was like, I feel like our opinions are fairly close in line with perhaps a few major differences. One of which possibly being like The Last Jedi.
Last Jedi is my favorite Star Wars movie. And I haven't seen it since it came out. But I just remember like going out of the cinema. I haven't had this going out of a cinema to see a Star Wars movie. And I've seen all nine of them at the pictures, right? Like when they did the 97 re-releases of the original trilogy. So I've seen all nine of them at the pictures in some form of a release. And The Last Jedi was the only one I walked out of being like, that had an effect on me. Like that had a profound effect on me and what it means to be a Star Wars fan and the Star Wars universe. It was the first one that attempted to do something new and different with the Star Wars brand. And I found that to be very interesting and very exciting. I haven't rewatched it though, so it may be rubbish and actually a bit bad, but I don't know because I haven't rewatched it.
Yeah, that's the one to me where it's like, because I walked out of seeing The Last Jedi for the first time having really enjoyed it. Like, I really liked that movie the first time that I saw it. And then I've gone back and watched it a few times. And this is just a personal thing with me. I have a very hard time watching movies where there's like a whole chunk of it that I don't like. Yeah. You know, like there might be little things throughout movies that I'm not a big fan of. Or something like, oh, the pacing is a little bit weird here and there. But if there's like a big old chunk that I'm just like, oh my God, can I just fast forward through this movie? I'm probably not going to like the movie that much. You know, like my, because I will watch the first two-thirds of Wonder Woman and then I will turn the movie off. You know, I really love the first two-thirds of that movie. I really love about two-thirds of The Last Jedi, but the middle chunk where they go to the casino planet, I'm just like, this is just garbage. Not a fan, because the things that people don't like about that movie, from what I've seen, like the cynical Star Wars people that they don't like, is like, oh, Luke being the way he is, and Rey and the kill the past, and her parents are garbage, and etc. stuff like that.
All the interesting stuff.
Yeah, of course. All of that I have zero problem with whatsoever. That to me is interesting storytelling, and just, you know, it challenges what you believe about Star Wars, what you're led to believe about Star Wars. And I like all that. What I don't like is whatever the hell Rose and Finn are doing the entire movie. It's like the other half of the movie that I just like, if you just got rid of that and made it about Rey and Luke and Kylo Ren, I would have really enjoyed that movie throughout. But meh.
Yeah. Right. I mean, unfortunately, we're going to have to draw this to a close. I would actually much rather sit here and chat with you about this though, but I'm slightly concerned. I think my computer's frozen, and are you able to end the broadcast?
Well, let's see. If I am, I'm gonna click the button. So
okay, right, well I'll do a quick sign off then before
Oh well, let's see, end the show,
because I can't click anything, but I'm still talking to you and I'm still recording, so something is going right. But anyway, that is all we've got time for on this edition of the show. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Wrestle Talk podcast. Tempest will be back tomorrow with Pete Quinnell to review SmackDown and AEW Rampage, the new number one show on the Wrestle Talk podcast network. Actually, no, it's the new number two show. Maybe it will be the new number one show. No, still the number two show, because Dynamite is still always going to trample it. So join him for that. And then on Sunday, there will be an AEW Full Gear 2021 review podcast with myself and Ollie Davis, which will be wonderful. Thank you all so much for listening. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.